You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
As I mentioned in announcements, we're going to be looking at 1 John again this morning. And we're sticking with chapter 3 this morning. If you remember, last week we read the beginning of 1 John chapter 3, where the Apostle John told us about being children of God now and what that looks like. Being children of God now isn't easy. Temptations, lies from Satan, heartache, disease, sorrows. It's hard to be a child of God now. Eventually this morning, we'll get to the not yet again, but not yet. So we start this morning this way. I'm going to put some pictures up on the screen, or I'm not going to put them up. You guys are going to put them up. They're pretty easy pictures to see, but it'll be fun anyway. When the picture comes up, feel free to shout out what you think it is. Here's the first picture. That's a can opener. You're one for one. Next picture. Another can opener. Who said coffee maker? Next picture. Is it a can opener or a jar opener, right? One of those rubber jar openers gives you a little bit more grip. Okay, next picture. Well, it's not a can opener. It is a jar opener again. It has these little notches in it, and you squeeze it, and it gets tight, and you can open that jar that you can't get open. And finally, but not least, a pair of pliers. When in doubt, grab a pair of pliers. It's kind of like if you're trying to fix something and you can't fix it, you grab a roll of duct tape. So this leads me now to another question, which has multiple answers, but I'll wait to see if someone or when someone gives me the answer I'm looking for. What do all of these things have in common? They open something that is closed. They all open something that is closed. Well, our reading from 1 John this morning is about something that is closed. It's not open, and it's not a good thing. Let's see if you can pick it out from our reading. By this we love that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. As children of God, what is it that should not be closed? Our hearts. Just like Miss Lori talked about this morning, our hearts. Closed hearts are not good. It's that simple. But it is not simple to open a closed heart, my friends. Sometimes it takes more than those little tools that we were looking at. Sometimes it takes a big tool, like a big crowbar, to open something that's not easy to open, something that's closed, like a heart. You see, a closed heart is one of the most difficult things to open. Yes, even believers like you and me, we can have closed hearts. Closed hearts to many things. Closed to forgiving someone who seeks forgiveness. Have you ever had someone hurt you so badly that when they asked for forgiveness, you couldn't forgive them? That's a closed heart. Closed to asking for forgiveness. All right, husbands and wives, who's going to say I'm sorry first? We've all been there. And the longer it goes, the more closed the hearts become. Seems like it's always the guy that have to say they're sorry. I'm just saying.
Well, you're going to have to say sorry later now.
I know it. Closed heart to those who are different than us. Sometimes it's subtle. Sometimes the differences are glaring. This type of closed heart is the type of closed heart we're going to focus on this morning. But before we do that, we're going to take a look at the most important heart that sometimes is closed. A closed heart to Jesus. A closed heart to the Creator of the world. A closed heart to the very Son of God. A closed heart to the cross. A closed heart to the empty tomb. Is this possible as believers? Of course it is. We see closed hearts all around us, don't we? Every day, closed hearts to Jesus. For those of you who are older, like 60 or above, I'm 59. Well, the world around you looks a little different, doesn't it? Do you remember the days, you older folks, when just about everyone around you talked like you? They thought like you. They even dressed like you. But most importantly, they believed like you. You've had an open heart to Jesus most, if not all, of your lives, if you're over 60. Actually, even most of the young people here today under 60 have believed in Jesus most, or if not all, of your lives. But it is different today, isn't it? Even right here at church. Take a look around. Not everyone looks like you. Not everyone's dressed like you. People wear shorts to church. Shorts to church. And you're over 60. But I know you don't have flip-flops on. Yes. Can you believe people bring coffee and donuts into church? Can you believe that people stand up and clap during singing of songs? Or they might even raise their hands a little bit? But it goes both ways, people. What about the younger generation? What are they thinking? A shirt and tie to church? A dress to church? Your finest shoes to church. Now, if you are over 60, remember you even wore a hat or maybe gloves. But for us young people, why would someone come to church and sit there emotionless while they're singing hymns? Or why would they want to sit there and listen to the same liturgy every single Sunday? Now, if you're like me, Luther's second law is having a little bit of effect right now. So I suppose we better try to remember what Luther's second law is. Anyone want to guess? Begins with M.
Do I get to say it?
Yes, you can.
Mirror.
The mirror, it's what we look at every day. And I was going through, as I was going through some of those things, some of you were cringing a little bit going, I've done that. I've judged people here at church for what they wear and how they sing and how they respond and how they act. The church, I'm not talking about the building here today we are in. The church, my friends, is the body of all believers. That includes you and me. And sadly, we can have closed hearts, can't we? I have a friend, his name is Scott. He doesn't look anything like me. He doesn't dress like me. He doesn't act like me. Honestly, we have very few things in common. If you saw Scott and I together, you would be surprised that we're friends. You see, Scott keeps his pants up with suspenders. Stop it. I use a belt. Scott braids his hair. Scott has been pulled over by police for driving too slow. I've been pulled over by police for driving too fast just a few times. Scott is separated. He doesn't have custody of his kids. My family is intact. We live together. My children's kids live with their parents. I have carried pheasants home after a good day's hunt. Scott has carried a friend's casket after being shot at 2 o'clock in the afternoon at a gas station in Omaha. I would shy away from about any fight. Scott has had to fight for a muffin, a pen, one of the 4 chairs supplied for 200 men in jail. Not much in common. About 2.5 years ago, Scott started coming to Trinity on a regular basis on Sunday mornings. Some of you may remember seeing Scott. He usually sits back there someplace. He came to 8 o'clock service this morning. After worship, we would talk. Now, I had known Scott as a school parent, and I did see some love and some openness in Scott's heart for people, but something different was going on. Scott's heart was changing. Then Scott asked me if it would be okay if he attended Monday morning Bible study with all those old guys. My words, not his. I was a little skeptical of how this was going to go. But a very funny thing happened. It's not funny, it's an amazing thing that happened. Scott experienced open hearts toward him. Open hearts from men, very, very different from him. These guys didn't just throw out some idle words and fake like Scott was welcome. He was welcomed. He was welcomed with open hearts, hearts that loved, not with empty words, but in deed, in truth. from 1 John 3. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. It's easy to love with idle words, empty words. It's easy to say something like, I'm really sorry to hear about that. It's easy to say, I'll pray for you, and then don't pray for them. Nod your head if you've ever done that. Make your heads do this. It's more difficult to love in deeds, really showing love and acceptance. These men have done just that. So Trinity, I have two questions. First question, do we have a healthy heart, congregation? Does Trinity have a healthy heart, congregation? It's so much easier to ignore people who have pain or hurt in their lives or who don't look like us or act like us or dress like us. Can we do better? Sure we can. There are ways that we as the body of Christ can be more welcoming, more open-hearted. And here's the second question. How is your heart? Are you open-hearted? Can you do better? Can you have more of an open heart? And how might that occur? What might that look like in your life with the people you come in contact with? It might be people with closed hearts to Jesus. My friends, there is a heart that I know of. A heart that belongs to someone. This person has a heart wide open. A heart that doesn't need a crowbar to open. It has been open since the beginning of creation. A heart that is so open that he showed beyond a reasonable doubt his love, and it is seen in verse 16 this morning. By this we know love, that he, Jesus, laid down his life for us. On this Good Shepherd Sunday, we remember what an open heart looks like. A heart as wide open with love as there has ever been or there ever will be. A heart so open that it willingly laid down its life for his sheep. A good shepherd who leaves everything behind to seek and save a lost sheep. In other words, someone with a closed heart. And it's not because we have earned it. Jesus went to the cross at Calvary willingly because his heart is wide open. A heart that knew there was only one way to save his special creatures that he wants to be with him. Romans 5, 8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. John tells us in perfect deed, in perfect truth. That's the wide open heart of Jesus. But how does this happen in our lives? Is there something practical or mystical or both that helps closed hearts be open? Absolutely. Both. God is the only one who can open a closed heart. He does it in a couple of different ways. The first way is prayer. Our own prayers asking for our open hearts or the open hearts for others. 1 John 3:22 to 23, and whatever we ask, whatever we pray for, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He commanded. And in the very next text or verse, our hearts are changed another way by the Holy Spirit. 1 John 3:24, and by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit whom He has given us. Stay in the Word, my friends. It's where the Spirit does His work. Hearts are changed through the Word. The Word that was made flesh, that walked among us. In other words, hearts are changed through Jesus Himself, through the message of the gospel. The Holy Spirit changes hearts. Changes hearts through the very Word of God. It's what Scott and those men on Monday morning have in common. Open hearts because of the gospel. Closed hearts are opened by God alone. It's His work at Easter. A God whose own heart is so open, so full of love, that all of that love could not be contained, and it wasn't. It certainly wasn't contained in that tomb. You see, my friends, the tomb is empty. God didn't need a crowbar. His Word opened the tomb. The open tomb opens hearts. At God's Son, the Word will return again. And on that day, no more broken hearts, no more sad hearts, no more closed hearts, only open, loving hearts forever and ever. That's the not yet made possible, because Christ has risen. Yes, hallelujah. Praise be to God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Amen.